Verse 14.
Verse 14. Stand your ground, putting on a belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of this, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as a helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere.
Amen. And I just read verse 18 from the New King James Version. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So what I want to do first and foremost before we move into today's teaching is to do a quick summary of what we've learned before. And now the Lord has opened our eyes to what we learned. So, if you remember very well, we looked at the armor of God. And the first thing, now we need to follow the order. Paul was not just writing in that, he followed the order. The first thing you need to put on. Now, one of the mistakes people make is that they just take something. Like some people, all they do is emergency prayer. And they want to overcome the devil with that. And they missed out every other thing. Yeah? And prayer is not even listed in this armor, is it? We will explore why it's not listed. Okay, but you see now that many people, that's why they miss it. They ignore all this, and all they want to do is pray. Now, when their prayers don't get answered, they say, God, why? You were not kind to me. But they've not ignored everything that God has put down. Okay? So you don't prepare for warfare in one day. Amen? You don't prepare for warfare in what? One day. You prepare for warfare every day of your life. Because warfare does not happen every day, but the day it comes, it doesn't give you notice. Are you with me? So what you are doing every day, your daily life is the evidence of your preparation. Say my daily living or what I do daily is evidence of my preparation. Amen. So notice another thing. It says we should take the whole armor, which means that you are not excused from just using one element. It's not sufficient. One piece. For example, the shield of faith. That's a very powerful piece of the armor. You need the shield of faith. Yeah? If there's anything you need what? Shield of faith. But still, it's not sufficient. Because before you take your shield of faith, what's the first thing you need to take on? You need to get yourself about with what? Truth. That's what the Bible says. That's the first thing. It said, you know, get yourself about with what? Truth. And, you know, let me tell you one of the misconceptions we have about truth. You think that girdle is keeping the armor. No. The girdle is keeping you. You put it on before any other piece. Amen? Truth keeps you firm. It's not your armor is keeping firm. It keeps you what? Firm. And we described this before. We defined this. We said truth is sound doctrine based on the balanced knowledge of God's word. You see, when you have sound doctrine, you will not be tossed to and what? And fro. Amen. Imagine Jesus not having sound doctrine when the devil came and said he will give his angels charge over you to keep you know your ways. So because of that, jump from the temple. He would have been deceived. Because actually, that scripture is deeper than that, you know. You read it in Amplified. He said he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways of obedience. Amen. When you are of obedience, angels are not in charge over you. I want you to understand. The first thing you need to do is repent and ask for mercy. Amen? The angels are not going to keep you in all your ways. Because if you are in disobedience, they are incapacitated from operating. Amen? But when you are in obedience, do you have every right to expect angels what? To keep you in charge. Hallelujah. And so the first thing to put on is truth, and it keeps you, is your girdle. Whether you think of it as a belt or a girdle, is for you or your clothes, not for armor. Amen? And when you put on truth, the next thing you need to put on is what? What? Check it. The best plate, thank you. The best plate of what? Actually, and another word for it is body armor. I'm just revising. We've done all this. Okay? Now you know that your body armor is like your bulletproof. Amen? Protecting all your vital organs. And let me just recap again. What is righteousness? Righteousness is right standing with God, which enables right living. Righteousness always has people stop at right standing. Any gift that God gives you is for a purpose, because God is purposeful. He doesn't give you a gift and just say, go and use it anyhow. Never! Even your life is a gift, but you can't use it anyhow, because you will give what? Account. So righteousness is a gift that empowers you to live right. Amen. Say to yourself, say, I've been made right by the blood of Jesus. I'm a child of God. Therefore, I can live a life that honors God. Your righteousness is useless if you cannot produce righteous works. Amen? And your body armor, it keeps you going. So when the devil comes to displace you, remember. You know, imagine you are in a situation and you remember that I'm a child of God. God is for me. You know, I was chatting with one of our church members yesterday who was in hospital. But she said something. He said, no matter what happens, I belong to God. And, you know, God is mine. So when I'm praying, I say, God, you are my God and I'm your child. We both know. My life cannot go down. Hallelujah. You have to know it. You have to know it. No matter what life throws at you, you have to know that you are a child of God. And that God is your father. When you know that, you are able to face anything. Amen. You say, God is our refuge and strength. We will not fear. Even if the earth is removed, we will not go to fear. Why? Because I'm located in God. So just say, I'm located. If you like, wake me up in the night and throw me into Afghanistan. I'm located in God. Hallelujah. That's the reason. I'm located what? In God. Hallelujah. That's righteousness. And then, so you can see, truth, righteousness. The next thing you need to put on is what? Yes? Your shoes. Now we explained that your shoes is not just preaching. It's not evangelism. Evangelism is a byproduct of what your shoes enable. Yeah? Your shoes is preparation or readiness or willingness. Your willingness to do what God is telling you to do is your shoes. Your readiness, yeah, is your shoes. But today I want to redefine it and say, your shoes is love. See, when you're walking in love, you're willing. Hello? When you're walking in love, you're what? You're willing. You know? There are some people that they're Christian, they don't come to church, they don't have time. They're not willing. They're not walking in love towards God. So it compromises a lot of things in their lives. Hey, listen to me. Yeah? You say I'm under grace. But access to grace is by faith and love. Some of the reasons why your faith is not working is because you're not walking in love towards God or towards people. Are you with me? Yeah? When you put God as second class in everything in your life, you're not walking in love towards God. It can compromise your faith. Amen? You see, your shoes, they keep you firm, they keep you going. And they keep you out of trouble. And they protect your feet from stepping on thorns. Amen? And your shoes are what? They're love. Because love makes you willing. Love makes you ready. Yeah? If you love people, you go out and preach the gospel. Amen? If you love God, you will give your time, your money, your resources. If you love, you know, God, you will push yourself. Yeah? You go the extra mile. So your shoes are love. Okay, and we talked about the helmet. Now, if you read that in King James or most versions, said the helmet of salvation. But how is salvation a helmet? Because in the first place, you can't even put on any armor if you are not saved. Are you with me? An unbeliever cannot put on the armor of God. Amen. So you are saved already before you started putting on truth. So we need to complete it. And what? And it was Peter that helped us complete it. He said, putting off an helmet, the hope of salvation. Amen? Your helmet is what? Hope. Not just any hope. The hope. You know that no matter how what happens, he said, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors. Hallelujah. He said, even if this our earthly body is dissolved, we have another one. Yeah? In the heavenlies that is prepared for us by God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's hope. That's what helped the disciples in the early days. They said, no matter what you do to me, you say you can take my body, but you cannot take my soul. Amen. Now, somebody kept their body, but they sold their soul to the devil. They are faint, they have no hope. Those are the hopeless people. Yeah, they may be living in riches, but if you sell your soul to the devil, you are what? You are hopeless. Are you with me? That hope keeps you in the midst of trial and temptation. Hallelujah. You know that there's something bigger and better that God has prepared for your life. Amen? Sometimes we tend to measure our lives by, you know, the things we have and how well things are going. And it's okay, you're human. That's how we should measure. If you didn't measure your life like that, I'll be surprised. Yeah? But remember that when life begins to hit you back and forth, revert back to hope. Amen? Say, I have Jesus. Amen? I have Jesus. Say, just say, I have Jesus. He is the greatest treasure of all. Hallelujah. That's why it was impossible to destroy the Christian faith. You see, Christian faith never advanced through weapons. Christian faith never advanced by force. Never. It's always by preaching and love and faith and hope. No matter what. Imagine the emperor of the Roman Empire and all the powers that be, they tried to destroy the Christian faith. They took Christians and they fed them to lions. But today, that Christian faith has reached every part of the world. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a hope that is sure. It's an anchor for the soul. Hallelujah. Say, I have hope. Not like the world. It's the hope of the world is best wishes. Best wishes. I played the lottery and I hope to win. That's not God's hope. Amen? The hope of God is sure. It's a steadfast promise. Hallelujah. For example, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's steadfast. It doesn't change it. You know, sometimes I listen to, you know, I was listening to a worship leader. I won't mention the name because I'm not trying to pull anybody down. And was like, God, if you abide with me, I will go far with you. No. He's already said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You don't need to pray that type of prayer. Because you are suspecting the character of God. Amen? What you need to do is say, thank you, God. Even though I cannot see you, I know that you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah? It will say another singer, praise worship. I'm talking about modern day. It's Lord, if you can look with favor and mercy upon me. They are quoting for Old Testament. Those were not children, they are servants of God. His favor is on you. His mercy is already released to you. The only reason why you will not experience God's favor and mercy is if you walk away, which we do. See, when I walk away and begin to do wrong things, I'm the one walking away. He doesn't withdraw it. What I need to do is go back. Amen? It's not him withdrawing it. I'm the one drifting. I just need to go back and say, Lord, I missed it. And once I do that, Bible says, he's faithful and just what? To forgive us. Bible says, anyone that covers him with no problem, but anyone that confesses and forsakes him, what would they have? Mercy. Sometimes even you don't need to pray for mercy. You just need to do what you need to do and His mercy is there. And by the way, the Holy Spirit ministering to me right now. You may be going through a situation and it's not coming through. And maybe in the past you felt, even if I missed it, I've asked for mercy and, you know, I've repented and still not just coming through. The Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you now that God is working on your case. He started working from the moment you approached him. And he will work it beautiful. He may not work it out the way you expected, but he will work it out better than what you expected. That's the word of God for somebody. Amen. And then we talk about the shield of what? Faith. You know, it's important to go through these sessions. I want you to understand about the shield of faith. I explained to you last time. I said the devil does not have a sword. Because the Bible says that what he has is fiery darts. Amen? And you know what those fairy darts are? They are what? Thoughts and what? Feelings. Is that the devil cannot take over your life until you permit him? Amen? He doesn't have the authority. He may have power, but he doesn't have what? The authority over your life until you permit him. Do you know how you permit the devil? Fear. Lust. And pride. And most of these operate like thoughts or feelings. Amen? So, but what you need to fight, I'm telling you, because sometimes you feel like, you know, what you need to fight, lust and pride is just discipline, self-control. But you try to control yourself. What you need is faith. Because anytime fear, lust and pride won't take over your life, is we attack your mind first. And the Bible says that we should hold up the what? The shield of what? Faith. He said, through this we can quench what? All the fairy darts. And I keep telling him, I say, don't come and tell me you have faith. I will preach this message later. It's like I'm telling you I'm strong. Every day I'm not eating. I'm not drinking water. But say, I'm a strong man. With that strength, lads? No. You are not in faith if you are not feeding on the word of God. Because faith comes by what? And hearing by what? So if the day you stop feeding on the word of God, your faith started going down. You are not in faith, yeah, if you are not speaking what you believe. Are you with me? Because the Bible says that, you know, I believe, therefore I have what? Spoken. He said the word is near you. It's in your heart and also where? In your mouth. If you are believing for something, but all you ever said with your mouth was contrary, you don't have faith. Are you with me? If the doctor has given you a report that is not acceptable to you, but you never was able to open your mouth, yeah, whether in your privacy or in public, and say, this is what I believe, you're not in faith. That's why some people say, we prayed and we were in faith, but your faith, there's a good fight of faith to fight. And you fight it with your heart and with your mouth. Then you will see results. It's like a seed. When you plant a seed, you must water it. Does the seed grow overnight? No, water it. One day, it will come out. After time, the tree, then the fruits. Then you'll be enjoying the fruits. Amen? Hallelujah. And finally, you cannot say you have faith if you are not doing actions of obedience in line with your faith. I'm not talking about general obedience. I'm talking about you believe something and the word of God has told you to do something and you are not doing it. You are not in faith. Hallelujah. 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 You need the shield of faith. Another thing God showed me about faith. That's why sometimes when I'm praying for people, I like to be very specific. What do you want? What exactly? What is the issue? You know, let's say I was praying for them. What are the issues? Because faith, that shield does not cover you 360 degrees. See that? The shield does not cover you 360. It's a mobile weapon that must be directed or pointed in direction of attack. Are you with me? Your shield of faith is you taking the word of God about your situation, focusing that word on your situation. Yeah? And then something else, another challenge comes up, you must take your shield and direct it again against that problem. Hallelujah. Alright? And finally, we talk about the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God, the spoken word. I told you, this devil does not have a sword. The simple meaning is that you are not called to a sword fight with the devil. And if you are fighting a sword fight with the devil, you will lose. Because he will outwit you. You are already seated with Christ. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, I'm seated with Christ far above principalities. You know, I was reading something, but if you don't connect, don't worry about it. My younger days, I read the scripture. It said, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world of sin. He said, because they do not believe. Then he will convict them of righteousness because I go to my Father. I didn't understand it. How will the Holy Spirit convict the world of righteousness because Jesus is going to his Father? But now I understand it. Because righteousness is only made possible because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for he is our standing with God. Jesus is who? Our standing with God. I'm righteous, first and foremost, because Jesus took my place and is representing me there. Hallelujah. The reason why God is not going to be mad at me is because Jesus is right beside him. He's my advocate. He said, if any man sin, we have what? An advocate. Hallelujah. So because of that, I don't need to be fighting a sword fight with devil. I'm seated above him. Are you with me? Yes, I need to use my shield to block his attack. But I'm not called to sword fight him. I'm seated above him. Now, when I leave my place, because for you to sword fight the devil, you need to leave your place of sitting. Come down. Grab a sword. That is not yours and start fighting. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Your shield is sufficient to resist the devil. Say, just say, my shield of faith is sufficient to resist all the attacks of the evil one. And sometimes it will come through people. Have you noticed? It usually comes through people. Amen. It comes through life challenges. Hold up your shield of what? Faith. Now tell me the role of the sword. The sword is the rhema, the spoken word of God. You know what the sword does? It causes the enemy to flee. You're not fighting it. This spiritual sword, you point it, He makes way. The sword is for advancement. So when God has spoken, let me tell you how it works. The rhema of God is what God is saying to you now. You know, God can say to you, tomorrow I want you to wake up at 4 a.m. and just pray about this issue. Or sometimes say, you know, go to this person. You know, or talk to this person. Yeah. Or he may say, change from this thing you are doing, change it. The whole rhema. When you do it, your life will just move. You will find a breakthrough that you could never have bought in the market. Hallelujah. Anytime God is speaking to you, listen, your life will move forward. There is no day God spoke to you is for advancement. Let me say that again. There is nothing God ever said to you, it will move your life forward. Nothing. Nothing ever. Whether positive or negative, is to move your life forward. Hallelujah. And so that's what the rhema does. Amen. And we said the other day, say, you want to get rhema, you need to stay in his presence. And you need to obey what he's telling you. It's simple. Okay, so that's a quick recap. I hope you've been blessed. Praise the Lord. You know, if we stop there, I taught you something. Now, the question is this. Why is prayer not in this list? We're talking about spiritual warfare. We're looking at weapons. We're seeing shield, helmet, sword, you know. What of prayer? Where is it? I thought what prayer was a master weapon. That's what I thought growing up. Why is it not in the list? And, or let me change the question. Why do we need to pray? So let's take some answers. So what I've done before is a recap. Normally this is where I teach. People, it's interactive. Yeah, thank you. Why do we need to pray? Let's take some, let's say like 4 or 5 answers. I'm looking for a wide range of answers. There's no perfect answer. Why do we need to pray? And why is prayer not a weapon? Think about it very practically. Why is it not? Because prayer is powerful, isn't it? What was that song we sing about prayer? Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer. You know when he did that? You know when he did that? In the wilderness. And ended with prayer. You know where? In the Garden of Gethsemane. Prayer is the master. It's true. It's the master key. But why is it not a weapon? It should bother you if you know why. Yes, let's see some answers. I can hear your voice. Let's go for you first.
I think overall, prayer is the basis of all this armor.
Yes, so prayer is the basis or a foundation. Sure. That's a good one. It's a good one. It's in the right direction. Let's have some answers. Yes. Anybody can answer? Yes.
Is it because prayer can be like related to everything?
Yes, prayer is a way of connecting to every weapon of warfare. Yes. Why should we pray? Why doesn't God just do everything? I mean, I've sat down and blame God. I say, God, why is the world in a mess? And you are there. Yes.
Because prayer is like the access, the exchange between us.
Prayer is a process of communion, engagement
intimacy
with God. Yes, let's have more answers. Are there people here that pray? Let's have some. Tell why should you pray? Let's just give some opportunity. Yes.
Yeah. God does not know what we. Even if He knows what we want, and we don't ask Him in prayer, then He can't give it to us.
Okay. So certainly God knows what you want, because He knows the heart of man. But He knows what you need. And He also knows what you... Many times people want what they don't need. But the question is, why does He know? Why does God... Why do we have to ask God? Okay, God knows what I want and what I need. Even before I ever ask Him. Why do I still have to ask Him? Yeah, try it. Yeah, go
if
for
we,
it.
If God gives us everything we need,
yes,
then we won't know how great He is. And we'll just take it for granted that we can get everything.
Yes, that's a good answer. Well, for that, I just say... I've been teaching the entire course. If God give you everything you wanted, you will not seek God. Have you thought about it? It's the human nature. You just, you know, you'll be busy partying. You know, children of Job, they were partying every day. That's why he became afraid. And he goes,
They were in prosperity. They had all they needed. Are you with me? So, God, as being wise, will not do that. But let's also remember that even before man fell, God was having communion with Adam and Eve in the garden. So it's actually deeper than that. You know, he said, talk about it. There's something called spiritual intimacy. Hallelujah. It's deeper than the fall. That's actually the love. You see, what the love we know on this earth is small, little. When we enter that next level, you enter spiritual intimacy. That's the real one, the real climax. But when you taste it, what we have in this world is a foretaste. But what we have then is the real love. That's the love between Jesus Christ and the church. Amen? Spiritual word, intimacy. It's better than physical intimacy. And it's better than emotional intimacy. Many people are just living their life based on physical and emotional intimacy. But spiritual intimacy is the highest, the greatest, the deepest, the widest. Yeah, you were saying something. Why does God make us ask him? Why didn't he just do it? God, why don't you just do this thing? And let's close this chapter.
I think because since God created everything, he left man with the free will to choose what he wants. So with that free will, he has left you to ask what you want from him.
Amen. Okay, let's move on because of time. Amen. I like questions and answers. That's the best way to learn. So now listen. So we said we can summarize it. It's a prayer, it's a process. Say yes, it's a prayer. It's a process, not a weapon. Or like my brother said, it's a foundation. It's a what? Foundation. Now, let me now take it further. Imagine you're in warfare. You have all your weapons, yeah? But you got hungry. What are you going to do? You've been fighting for 24 hours. No food, no water. Yeah? How long will you last before you are defeated? Amen? So in warfare, you need rest. Amen? In warfare, you need what? And what else? Refreshing. Don't you? Do you agree? In warfare, you need what? No matter your weapons, you need what? Rest and refreshing. Let me tell you something. One of the strategies of the devil to get you, even when you have all your weapons engaged, is to make you weary. Because the devil makes you weary. Yeah? You know, do you know, many people will not compromise. But if the devil keeps pushing their limit, just keep pushing. Gently, push them. They are very principled, they are very self-controlled, they have faith, they have love, they have hope. They will just keep pushing until they reach their limit. Once they are tired and weary, they don't care. Amen? So in warfare, what do you need? You need rest. And what? Refreshing. Prayer is a process of rest and refreshing. You know why? You are not the source. So you say, I'm not the source. I need connection to my source. Hallelujah. Anybody can grow weary. It's just that some people grow weary faster than what? Others. But the Bible says that those that wait upon the Lord, what will happen to them? They will renew their strength. You need it. No matter how much fortified you are, you need a process that helps you to renew your strength. You know what happens when you're not renewing your strength? You will burn out. Or you dry up. And if you burn out, Satan can get you easily. In fact, people who burn out, they will invite Satan and say, I don't care. Just do whatever you have to do and go. And the mad devil will do his worst. Say that's not my portion. Amen. Are you with me? Are you still with me? Hallelujah. Prayer is a process where we bring heaven down to earth. The Lord's Prayer. Let's say it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. Have you ever realized that that prayer would be useless if God's will was always done on the earth? God is not the one responsible for the mess in this world. We are. Amen? Look, any country of the world, in different countries of the world, sometimes they have different problems. There are common problems and there are specific problems to different areas.
The point that's specific to different countries, they permitted that problem. That society failed to act against it. That's why it became predominant. Are you with me? There are some things that people can get away with in Nigeria, they will not get away with in England. Yeah? But it's not only one way. There are things people get away with in England, they will be stoned to death in Nigeria. Are you with me? God's will is done on the earth when we pray. Hallelujah. Prayer brings heaven down to earth. Hallelujah. That's when he's sick and people are sick and dying. Say, well, yeah, maybe it's the will of God. Why do you have to always live on maybe? Why can you never be certain in your life? You don't want to live on maybe. Hallelujah. So, oh God, all we're just depending on is your mercy. But in real life, do you want to live on mercy? Do you want to go to the streets now and be begging for mercy? No. Mercy is for the people who are just starting to understand God. Grace is for the people who are children of God. Hallelujah. He said we have access by faith into this grace. Grace enables us to reign as children of God in life. Grace and the gift of righteousness, it enables our prayers to be answered. There's nothing sweeter than, you know, I'll keep challenging you by saying, if you are praying, I don't care whether you're a prayer warrior or a prayer, whatever, you should be able to keep a record of your prayers and the answers. If your success rate is 50%, brother, you have not yet started. Amen? James 5:16, it says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. That New Living Translation. The Holy Spirit brought it to my heart this week. Amen? I think he was preparing me for some situations this weekend. You know? So I understand from that line that if I'm a righteous person, which I am, why am I righteous? I've received Jesus. I'm a child of God. That's my righteousness. Jesus Christ is what? My righteousness. I'm not the stranger to God. You see, now if you're in a place where by any time you are praying, all you pray is, God, I beg you, I beg you, I beg you. You are still operating on mercy. People on mercy beg. Are you with me? But when, as you begin to understand your relationship with God, that God is your father and you are his child, the relationship is higher. You know the prodigal song? He said, I will arise and what? And go to my father. He said, the relationship. He said, he won't tell the father, take me as a higher father. Did the father take him as a higher servant? Despite all he has done? No. Remember, this guy has blown away 50% of the inheritance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you understand that God is committed to your life, you don't second guess God. You go with that confidence in prayer. Father, I thank you because you love me with an everlasting love. Hey, glory to God. You know, that's just a good foundation to start praying. I thank you. Because although I cannot see the light out of this tunnel, I know that I am in you and you are mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't need to start doubting and say, God, will God work for my interest or will he not? Of course I should doubt it if my interests are far away from God's will. But if, you know, my interest is in line with what is good and perfect, I don't need to doubt God. Hallelujah. I say, Father, I thank you because in all things, you are working everything for my what? For my good. He said, one verse says, all things work together for the good of those who love God. But I don't think that's the best way to look at it. The best way is, in all things. It's not the things that work. Things don't have the power to work by themselves. They're either working by the power of God or by the power of the devil. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Hallelujah. That's your prayer start getting effective. So my own challenge is, the success of my prayer must be 80-90. If I pray for something and it doesn't get answered, that means that that thing is totally out of God's will. Like I keep saying, you don't need to spend your time praying to claim the husband of another woman. If you like, pray and fast about it. You're just wasting your time. Let me tell you now. You don't need to pray to win the lottery. I tell you why? Because that's not God's perfect will. That's not the way God wants to prosper you. The way God wants to prosper your life is that you work,
Now, when I say work, it doesn't mean a job. It means any way you're adding value to life. Even the housewife is working. In fact, sometimes housewives work more than people who go to the office. I know that from experience. Amen? You work, you're adding value to life. And you give. That's how God wants to prosper your life. He doesn't want to prosper your life by sudden riches. Hallelujah. So if anytime you're playing the lottery, don't pray. Just thank the God of, thank luck. Say, I'm hoping to be lucky. Don't come and tell me, oh, we prayed and God did not answer. No! It's not within His perfect will for your life. Because it doesn't, there's no way God will be glorified in that process. It was luck that delivered it. You know what luck is? It's a random process. Prayer is a definite process. Hallelujah. Luck is time and chance. But prayer is God in action. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to say the earnest prayer of a righteous person has what? Great power. Means that a righteous person goes into a situation that is impossible. They pray earnestly. Bible now tells us, they say Elijah. But Elijah was not even born again. He was a prophet in the Old Testament. But he prayed earnestly. You know, like he gave himself to him and said, no, when you are praying, God was teaching himself about prayer. He said, your prayer has to be specific. Yeah? And just make it as specific as possible and give your heart to it. He prayed earnestly. He said, God, I don't want it to rain for 10 years. But what was his purpose? Was it for personal gain? No. Was it to make money? No. It was to spread righteousness. By the way, it doesn't mean that you can't make money to spread righteousness. Amen? You can make money to spread righteousness. Provided God is tasting your money. You know what I mean? You make money and you give a part of it, you know, to build an orphanage, you know, in Pakistan, to rest. That's righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen? You make money and you give, you know, 5% of it support missionaries in... Where? That's righteousness. We just want to make money so you can live bigger. He prayed earnestly. He said, God, these people, they are in idolatry. And I wanted to show your power. And 3.5 years, there was no rain. You know why? You know that's why God is still bringing him back. He's coming back, that man. Elijah is coming back to preach to the Israelites. Amen. That means if something is disturbing my life, I can engage with God. You know, we talk about engaging. Because there are some things that you cannot know on paper. You need God to speak it to your heart. There are some ways we are praying that you are praying wrong because you don't know how to pray. You thought that this was the problem, but that was not the problem. Sometimes, you know, you're in a situation and you're thinking that, oh, to get out of that situation is the greatest thing you need in your life. Whereas, God also wants to use that situation to change a bigger problem in your life. But you cannot see that one. You can see it. But when you start praying, you will start opening your eyes. So for example, you know, my sister was giving a testimony, and thank you so much. That was really encouraging. You know, sometimes when you look at it, when someone else comes to tell you about yourself 20 years ago, you're like, oh, really? But you know, I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. I moved on, because when you are moving with God, He will prune you. Amen? You know why He prunes you? He said the one that does not bear fruit, He cuts it off. But we understand that one, yeah? But He said the one that is even bearing fruit, what does He do? He proves it so that you can bear more fruit. That means that even the best of a Christian still has some things in their life that is hindering them from fruitfulness. So God wants to prune you. That's what prayer helps you to do. Are you with me? I've left my notes because I feel the Spirit just wants to speak specifically what some people. Sometimes it's just better to just you to what the Holy Spirit is saying. You know, better than any notes you prepared. So I have some questions on watching. I have some questions on praying in the Spirit, but I will just stay where the Lord wants me to say. He said, Isaiah, He said, those that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength. But sister, you are not waiting on the Lord. I'm not speaking to you. I'm looking at your face. I know you won't mind because you know me. Hallelujah. You are not. All you did was you just sat down, crossed your leg and say, well, I just hope. What are you hoping on? You have to wait and spend time. And someone says, oh, but prayer is boring. It's because you don't know prayer. Let me define prayer for you. Prayer includes praise. You know, sometimes I'm doing my quiet time. I just praise God for 30 minutes. You think it's not prayer? But I say God lives within the praises of his people. My quiet time is never static. He changes as his spirit is moving me. I can decide for a whole 1 hour, and all I'm going to do today is praise God. And when I finish, I read my Bible. Hallelujah. You can praise God. Prayer includes repentance. Some people, they just only ask God for it. They never repent. They never search themselves and say, oh, but I missed this. And God was saying, they never. So, you know what happens that when you don't do that, God, you can't hear from God. Because when God spoke to you the other time, you didn't obey. Prayer includes rededication. Look at how the Lord's Prayer starts. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in the long before he said, give us today our daily bread. He said, God, I want to do your will. Just tell me one single thing I need to do. Show me one simple thing in my life that can change. The word that is practical. Hallelujah. That's prayer. And of course, prayer includes supplication when we make our request known. Philippians 4. He said, don't worry about what? And he said, don't worry. When worry comes, you know what I do? I say, I'm not worrying, I'm trusting. Hallelujah. I need to say it because I can't just resist it with my mind. I need to open my mouth and say it. The situation now is like looking very dire. I just say, I'm not worrying, I'm what? I'm trusting. He said, don't worry about anything. He said, in all things, through prayer and supplication. With what? Thanksgiving. Prayer includes thanksgiving. Sometimes, the reason why some breakthroughs are not happening, or why some breakthroughs are lost. So you had a breakthrough, but then it was lost. It's because you didn't thank enough. You can thank God for, God did something for you and it was so special. 4 years later, you still, oh God, I still remember what you did. That's the lifestyle. And you can just spend another 20 minutes just thanking God. I mean, that was the last time you thank God that you are born again. There are people that are smarter than you, more beautiful than you, out there in the world, but they are not born again. There are people that work harder than you, but they are not born again. Yeah? There are people that are nicer than you, in quote, but they are what? Not born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's so much you can do in prayer. And of course, the greatest of them is to pray in the Spirit with the help of the Holy Spirit. So this is my quiet time. Now I'll just do that for 1 hour. Hallelujah. I want to say one or two and let's run over on this note. For you to understand prayer, you need to understand what is God's greatest goal in your life. My own greatest goal is that, Lord, I need a car now. I have a car already. I'm only praying for a new one. You get it? It's not for the person that didn't even have a car. Say, Lord, I've never had a car. I need a car. Any car will do. For me now, any car will not do. Do you understand? I've left that level. Hallelujah. And I told you, prayer should be what? Specific. But again, if you're asking for a new car, what do you need a new car for? Can you justify it in righteousness? Will God be glorified if you had a new car? Will you use it for his glory? Will people come to know God because you have a new car? Or just to make you feel good? So there are two sides. Some people say, no, I don't want a new car ever. You are limiting God. Some say, I need a new car. You need to just, anytime, the way God answers prayer is this. When your prayer is connected to righteousness, God has an incentive. And by the way, I'm not talking about prayer just about, going to church or anything in your life. Everything in your life can glorify God. Everything. The way you take care of your children can glorify God. The way you treat your husband can glorify God. The way you treat your wife can what? Glorify God. The way you take care of your home can glorify God. The way you behave at work can what? Glorify God. The way you react when under provocation can glorify God. So when God has a stake in the matter, prayer becomes more effective. So maybe re-explain it. Say, the earnest prayer of a righteous man, I want to re-explain to you in another way. It means that anytime I'm praying and the purpose of my prayer will advance righteousness. Yeah? I have a great degree of chance to be answered. Amen. Let me give an example. Someone is dying. But all their life, they never had time for God. Or they are Christian, but they never did the will of God. Now, they are in sickness, they are dying. And we are praying God save their life. Why? Are you with me? What is the incentive for God? Should God give them another 20 years so that they can continue to promote their rebellion and disobedience and unrighteousness? Are you with me? And then if such people don't answer, you say, oh, God did not do it. No! God also has an incentive in this matter. Prayer is more effective when our purposes overflow into what? Righteousness. Amen? Yeah, just basic principles. Hallelujah. And you don't need to make a vow. I don't believe in making vows, because Jesus said, he said, don't swear. Let your yes be what? And your no be. You don't need to strike a deal with God. The greatest deal you need to strike with God is walk in love towards God all the time. Be ready. When you are ready and willing, you don't need to make a vow. You just ask him. Because you are always ready. People who make vows is because they knew they were not ready. They are trying to strike a deal with God. You're not trying to manipulate. It's not your heart. You can't manipulate him. You say, oh God, if you do this, I will just go and preach, you know, for the obese. Why didn't you preach before? All right, I need to round up there. The time. So God's greatest goal in your life. You see, we have our own needs, the things we want God to do. But God also has something he wants to do. Because he made you. Remember, God made you. Nobody ever made any equipment for no reason. There's a purpose. A car is made to move on the road. A kettle is made to boil water. A kettle will not take you to London, but it will give you warm tea on your way. Hallelujah. So, everything has a purpose. God made you, and there's a purpose God has for your life. Are you with me? Now, that means that God's greatest stake in your life is that you fulfill that purpose. So, whatever you're going through, whatever you're asking him, whatever his greatest stake is what? For you to fulfill what? That purpose. Hallelujah. Now, when the purpose of God over last week, my request from God. Hallelujah. Answers. Amen. When God knows that, what he will give me, I will use it for his glory. Hallelujah. Answers. Hallelujah. God has a stake. Say, God has a stake in my life. He has something he wants to achieve. And his greatest goal behind every prayer is to achieve that purpose. Hallelujah. Let's rise up. Let's sing a song. I've moved from my script, but I'm not coming back to spiritual warfare. I will teach on watching and fasting another day, but not under spiritual warfare. I've done this now. Hallelujah. My life is not my own. To you I belong. Give myself. Give myself to you. Do you know that's the best thing you can do with your life? Do you know that? Life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own. One more time. My life is not my home. Life is not my own. To you I belong. And I give myself to you, oh Lord. So I give myself away. I give myself away to you, Jesus. I give myself away. For your glory, Lord, I give myself away. I give myself away to you, Jesus. I give